Hello, I'm Elke Pasco, CEO and founder of Little Oak, and welcome back to this edition of This Little Life, an impromptu and lively discussion diving into the big and little issues of parenting and beyond. Are you struggling with what you can and can't do with your fitness while you're pregnant? Or perhaps did you struggle to find any programs that nourish you and your baby postpartum? Well, look no further. We have found the right app for you. And today on This Little Life, we are very excited to share the story of Juna Moms and the journey to creating what we think is one of the best fitness apps for new and perhaps sort of older mums. So today's story is fantastic. A story of a mother who herself struggled to find the proper education for fitness and nutrition while pregnant and postpartum. So she took it upon herself to create an app for all mums to use. And we know that pregnancy isn't always easy for all mums, especially first-time mums. And I can relate personally. My first time was difficult. There is so much information on what is correct to do during pregnancy and what you shouldn't do, such as workouts, nutrition, how to sleep, how not to sleep. And even postpartum, there are not a lot of places you can look for what foods might upset your baby or build you from the core back up. So today, I'm so excited to be joined by the founder of Juna Moms, Sarah. Sarah is the mum to three beautiful little ones, and she has created an excellent app for all mums to use during pregnancy and post. So Sarah, welcome to This Little Life.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I know. I'm so excited. This is the most timely discussion. So I really want to find out. I understand you have a background in nutrition and fitness. So I'm really interested to know where you started Juna Moms and where you're at now.
Yeah. Where do I even start? I think like my background is mostly in creating digital products for fitness, I think is where I started. Like I've always been really passionate about health, fitness, nutrition, but that wasn't like where my career went. My career went into like, I got my MBA. I wanted to be in business. And then I kind of realized I wasn't that happy doing what I was doing. And I'm like, no, you know what I need to be doing is marrying the thing that I'm most passionate about, which is health and fitness.
Not your husband?
And business. what?
Not your husband?
Yeah. Love him dearly. So I went to business school and was focused on this like yoga business that was going to be a digital yoga product. And then kind of like, you know, I decided not to do my own thing, went and worked for somebody else. And then I went to three different fitness companies, helped them launch their online, online fitness businesses. One was Beachbody, another was Yoga Works. And like during that experience, I was pregnant and postpartum. And I just remember being like, this is like a very specific period in people's lives. Like, why is there not a specific product for somebody? Like, I have no idea what I am supposed to be doing. And if you get on the internet, you're like, you know, like, should I exercise? And like the disparity of information and like misinformation is like really staggering. And I think that was like the most glaring thing for me was like, I don't know what to do. And I'm like in this business. And the fact that I don't know what is safe or what's not safe. And I had a really, it was a tough pregnancy and post, because I just like, I'm a very active person. And I remember like just not going for it or not doing what I am used to doing because right. I was nervous. Mm-hmm. And that particular postpartum experience was also really hard. I think my recovery was much more different than my like second two pregnancies, my last two pregnancies. And I think like, I attribute a lot of that to like not being in a great mental space because I wasn't exercising. I also like had confusion around like what to eat, what not to eat, what I could do. I think like that was really where the like idea of Juna came to mind. But it was really just a little tic-tac at that point. And then I had another baby, and it wasn't until after that baby, my second baby was 3 months old, and my husband was like, look, you have been noodling on this like business concept or idea for a year now. Like, you know, why don't you just do it? Like, we're in a position, like leave your job and work on this and commit to it for, you know, a year and see like where it gets you. And now I'm almost three years in.
Thanks.
And you get what it's like, but it's evolved. And it, I think like it's, I, you know, like since then was certified in pre and postnatal fitness, have, you know, like have done, you know, and I am, you know, the only real full-time person on Juna. And so it's like, I think like the area of expert, like I'm across everything. Like I'm doing product, I'm doing content. It's just, it's crazy, but it's fun and I love it. So I really was able to marry my like love of like business and marketing and product and content to like the actual content of fitness and nutrition.
It's such a fantastic thing. I mean, as you said, probably when I had my first and second, there was nothing around like that at all. I mean, I remember walking around the park and seeing like little mums groups doing an exercise group with, you know, a trainer. And I just think, oh, I'd love to go down there, but I could never find enough kind of either it was energy or, you know, kind of enough willingness to go and throw myself into a group of women with a new baby. I always found mothers groups tough enough, let alone then trying to get into some Lycra and do the same thing. But obviously three children. Tell me, how old are they now?
So they are 1, 3, and 5.
Oh my gosh.
I'm on the cusp of 2, 4, and 6. Like they're all, we're like a few months away from birthdays. And it does like, the first year of my 1-year-old's life, I would, every time I'd see a parent of three, I would like go and ask them like, when does it get easier? Like I'm drowning. Like this is such a disaster. I don't know what I did. Like three is too much. We shouldn't have done this. Like I had all these, like, what have we done? And now like, and every one of them said, when your youngest is two, you'll start to see the light. I'm starting to see the
come
light
up for oxygen. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, I only have two. Yeah. I always wanted three, but, I hear it's when you get to three, you're outnumbered. So that always adds, it's the mathematics around it. It's always a bit more difficult than just two.
Yep. It goes from man to man to zone. And it's actually interesting because it's not having three kids. It's like most of the time I don't have three kids. It's the constant 2-on-1.
Yes.
That's like, you know, like that's the hard part. And I think like the 2-on-1, when I have my 3 and 5-year-old, it's much easier than when I have my 1 and 3-year-old, but I usually have my 1 and 3-year-old.
Yeah. Well,
and then I'm a little resentful. I'm like, I want to be with my 5-year-old. He's so fun and easy right now.
So how do you find, I mean, obviously we'll talk about Juna in a minute, but I mean, just from because we did a great podcast the other week around, you know, starting your own business when you have babies and what have you. And invariably a lot of these great ideas that come from startups, started by mums, come from as a result of not having that when you're, you know, when you have your first child. So how are you going juggling three and running what is a, you know, fast becoming a very, you know, a big growing thumping business?
Yeah, it's, it's funny because I have plenty of women on my podcast too, that they come on and they say some like really profound things with like the boundaries that they set and the things that they implement and all these things that they do. And I'm always like, oh, that's so incredible.
Really?
But like, it's just a total shit show over here. Like
I'm rebranding my household TSS. I said this just the other day, total shit show.
It is like, it's just like, it's really hard. And I think like the more that I accept that there's no perfect way of doing this, that there's just like, I'm doing the best that I can. And some days I'm a really good mom and some days I'm a really good at my work. And usually those days don't overlap. I think like the more I accept that, the more I'm okay with whatever happens.
And
so, I just think like three kids is a lot. We have a wonderful au pair, which like, I think the au pair model is just incredible, especially for the kids, like our kids' age, like having someone live with us that can work the odd hours. Like, you know, she does mornings and evenings while our kids are in, and then has off when our kids are in school. So like, that's really helpful. Cause like, I know that they're in good, they have good care when I'm not with them. And then like work-wise, I think like I really try and like prioritize the things that are big fires.
Yes.
And I think the hardest thing is that it's like really hard to be strategic when you're just like in the weeds all the time.
Yeah.
And that's,
yeah.
I think you could say that about parenting too.
Yeah. I mean, I think I can relate. You just get stuck in that to-do list, like just have to get through this thing. And, you know, you rarely come up to kind of, you know, as you say, look at the big strategic picture of the business. But
yeah,
tell me, that's probably a nice segue into Juna. So tell me, why did you, I mean, obviously you went through your own journey. So what is this app? What's this helping? How is this helping? Or what does this solve for pregnant or postpartum women?
Yeah. So it's when we launched the app, it was for pregnant and postpartum women, and it was nutrition and workouts. And so we basically, you know, like I'm sure you remember back to your pregnancy, if someone said, here's a meal plan, this is what you should eat for this like month of pregnancy, I would have been like two middle fingers up, right? Like I'm not following this meal plan. I don't know what I want to eat for dinner, let alone like for the next month. And I think like having been through those kinds of like that pregnancy, like it gave me a real perspective on like how pregnant women want to eat. And it's like, if someone had just told me, hey, here's what's going on with your baby, here's what's going on with you, this particular nutrient during this time is really important, and here are five recipes for you to incorporate that nutrient, then I would have been really happy. And like, so that's like our nutritional methodology for pregnancy, is like we're like not overbearing with like, or prescriptive. We're just like, here's what's important this week, here's why it's important, and then here's how you can get it in. And I think like I launched the app before I had my third baby. And so I was able to use the app for my entire third pregnancy.
So you're the case study as well.
Yeah, I am a case. It's funny. I mean, my pregnancy was like by far and away the best pregnancy. And I'm like, I do attribute it to how active I was and how healthy I was. But it's interesting how like it becomes like your health decisions become cumulative. And it's like, so if like I got used to incorporating kale like the week before, I just got used to that. And then so kale was just like incorporated into my diet the next week. And I just like, there was all these new and healthy habits that like cumulatively happened over the 40 week period, which also made postpartum significantly easier. And like different types of like nutrition hacks, like, I mean, in first trimester, like I wanted to eat all beige food, but like getting in these smoothies that were super nutrient dense, like we just gave lots of recipes. So I just got used to eating those, which were great for postpartum because you never have time to like make a sandwich. I would just like make a smoothie and that became my like meal.
Yeah.
And then on the fitness side, when we launched, we were just like, we had, you know, seven workouts for each trimester, and then quickly realized like you need a lot more workouts because they get boring after. And so we expanded out our workouts, and then this past summer we launched courses, like educational courses. So birth prep, breastfeeding, and newborn care, and starting solids, and then two sleep courses, one for the newborn and one for 4 to 12 months. And because we just wanted to be more, if you're not exercising or care about nutrition, like how can we also help you on your motherhood journey?
Yeah.
I forgot. We also launched a 12 week trying to conceive program, which does have meal plans, obviously, because
nutrition really helps. Yeah.
It helps you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's, we, you know, we kind of just expanded out to cover the entire motherhood journey. We have also have a core restore program for those that have any sort of core dysfunction. Like I had not terrible diastasis recti, but bad enough. Like I had 3 babies in 4 years. Like that was going to take its toll on my core.
So,
it's interesting. I we get feedback on the app, and someone wrote in and they were like, I don't love the pelvic floor exercises. And I was like, nobody does. It's literally the most frustrating
exercise. It's not supposed to be good.
on the planet. Like you're just like, you're integrating your core, your pelvic floor, your breath, like, which by the way, has been all out of whack in pregnancy. So actually integrating it all is really hard to do. And so not being able to do, like, I remember the first time I doing it being like, I can't engage my pelvic floor. Like I can't do a Kegel, but you're asking, and like, just like feeling this like stress response in my body and being like, man, I'm a customer of this product. I created this product, but it's stressful. Yeah. And so it is interesting. I feel like people reject the things that they need to do.
I can relate.
Yeah.
I can remember that feeling even from like, I mean, Freddie's nearly 8 now, right? So it's been a long time since I was pregnant. But as you're talking, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember. And I also remember going into pregnancy with Olive, my first. I had no idea like what you're supposed to be eating. And I think as you're talking, I remember like I went into that with the whole idea that, well, my obstetrician, gorgeous gentleman, but he was really big on making sure that you managed how much weight you put on through your pregnancy. He said, mm-hmm. because the amount of weight that you put on afterwards contributes to obviously that, you know, post-pregnancy depression. Right. And I was like, okay, so every time I would go in each week or every couple of weeks, he'd weigh me and I would literally take off rings, my watch, my shoes, everything. And he'd be like, Elkie, that's really not going to make much difference. I'm like, no, it will. You know, he'd pull out a red pen or a black pen, depending on whether you'd put on too much weight that week or not. So you'd be like literally staring, waiting for him to pick up this red pen. And I remember thinking at the time, oh my God, I'm like, Keith, like I'm literally not eating because I was so concerned about, you know, the red pen or the black pen.
But, oh my gosh.
But had I known, like, because I sort of went into it like I did with my 20s, you know, if I needed to lose weight for an event or had an event, I'd be like, right, not, don't eat for 3 weeks. And and then, you know, with this thing, I'd go, right, I've got to weigh in 2 weeks. So I better, like, you know, cut down all the calories again. But that's just not the way to do it, you know. And now, you know, having now gone through this journey, I realize really, really not the way to do it. But there was nothing like Juno Mums around when I was having a baby. I gathered it afterwards by talking to nutritionists and dietitians because I needed to get my, you know, my breast milk flow up, and I was, you know, working and stressed and trying to formula feed, and kids weren't taking it, so I'd pump and you know, I held the weight. So I went to this great dietitian. She was like, "Well, you need to eat. You should be eating this, and this, and you should be doing this." And I was like, "Oh my God, I wish I'd known that, you know, 9 months ago." Do you know? So I wish in so many ways you had been around 8 years ago, 10 years ago, in fact.
It's, you know, I hear stories like that too about like the weigh-ins and how much stress those cause people. And like, you know, like there is an association with weight gain and like, and overall health. And, you know, like there are bad outcomes at times, but like, I think that they're not looking at the whole picture. And I think like every person is different. And I think your OB like should have like saw the stress that was, you know, like that's like maybe these aren't really good.
It nearly became a game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because I think about my weigh-ins too. And I used to like go in and take my shoes off and like, which is a totally normal response, right? Taking your, but in my head, I'm like, you've put on 25 pounds. Like what difference does this extra 0.8, you know, like ounces matter, like in the scheme of things? And then I kept convincing myself, no, this is just for accuracy. Like I've taken them off all these other weeks. They may as well. But it is a fascinating thing too, because weight gain is like just not linear in pregnancy too. Yeah. And so for anyone to treat it like it is, like I remember with my first pregnancy, putting on like maybe a pound or so in the first trimester, because obviously that's, you know, people don't really gain weight. You're not eating that much, whatever. But and then in the second trimester, putting on like the bulk of, like, I think I put on 25 pounds or maybe 28 pounds in the second trimester. And I was like, holy shit, if I gain one, can I, I'm sorry, I don't know if I can.
I totally swear. Hello, swear. This is, okay. Have you met me? No, you must. Like,
I was like, if I put on a pound every, you know, like every week, the way you're supposed to, like, I'm like, I'm going to like be on track to gain 45 pounds. Like, this is insane. And then like when, in, like, but like that was, I was just like, okay, like, you know, this is what it is. Like, this is pregnancy. You have to be okay with it. And then my whole third trimester, I think I ended up gaining 3 pounds just because like that was my body. And I remember with my second baby, just not consuming myself with it. Like I put on 25 pounds in the second trimester. And then again, the third trimester put on 2 or 3 pounds. And I was just like, that was like this like thing for me where it was like, I'm like, oh, everybody has a different experience and everybody's body is going to do something different in pregnancy. And so like, I've got to be okay with what mine does and just like optimize for me and hope that we, you know, like the information that we give people will allow them to be healthy without being obsessive.
Yeah. And what do you see are the biggest issues that, you know, that mums are facing going into pregnancy and then coming out? I mean, I can talk to my own experience, but is that across the board or do you, you know, and are those challenges changing or are they, you know, pretty much the same year on year?
So I mean, I don't want to be so broad and try and speak for everyone's challenges. I do know that like I think that a big challenge that I see is the perspective of when we're pregnant, everything is what we can't do rather than what we can do. And I think like when it, like, especially with nutrition, and this was the very first thing I Googled when I found out I was pregnant was like, what can't I eat? Like, what should I not be eating while I'm pregnant rather than how can I fuel myself and my baby for pregnancy? It's like, what are my restrictions? Like I need to understand my restrictions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just think that that's like the overall perspective, of most women when they get pregnant is like the, okay, what can I do now? Rather than like, I'm totally capable and I'm growing a baby and this is, but like, and so what can I do to nourish both me and my baby throughout my pregnancy? And then like that goes for postpartum too. You start either you're breastfeeding or you're not breast, whatever it is, but you're really focused on the baby and not so much yourself. And I think that's how we get lost. Like we really start to lose ourselves when we focus on the baby rather than any sort of thing. I have like a very vivid like DM that came my way when we like posted about postpartum exercise and someone was like how in the world could I find time to exercise? Like, because I'm doing X, 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 and X. And I'm like, yeah, no, I get it. Like I have 3 kids. Like I get it. Like
I wrote the book on no time.
with every new baby that I added, I had to find a new way to exercise and prioritize myself. And like that's really hard. Like it is really hard to find the time to prioritize yourself. But if you don't try to do it, you're not going to.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I always found it interesting, you know, just to walk around with them on the pram or even when you're down at the park and you're kind of, you know, you can sort of sit there and do some squats. I always found if I do that or 10 squats in the fridge, listen to me, in the shower, do you know, or something, do you know, like just, I just felt that was a tiny little way I could contribute. And do you find, it's always one of the questions I always found fascinating because I have a twin sister and we were sort of pregnant on the back of each other type thing. And she sort of, you know, put on weight, I put on weight. She lost it straight away. Almost nearly immediately breastfeeding. I was pleasantly plump for a good 12 to 18 months after each pregnancy. What is that? Why is that? Is it genetics? Luck of the draw?
Yeah, I mean, literally every single person has a different experience with that. I have friends that like breastfed and like lost more weight than they could have even, like they couldn't hold weight on. It was the skinniest they'd ever been in their entire lives. And all those friends,
like my friends like that, I just disowned them. I can't be friends with you anymore.
Yeah. I remember being like, oh, I'll breastfeed and I'm going to lose the weight just like that. And that was not my experience at all. Like I had to work really hard. And like you, like I held on to 5 pounds until I was done breastfeeding. Like that was... And I think, I mean, it's like some people, their bodies have a response where they're like, I got to hold on to some fat. Like that's, I got to hold on to it. I got to feed, you know, like that's, but I think like you never know how your body is going to react. It is pretty consistent from pregnancy to pregnancy. Yeah, so like if you didn't lose weight like really easily after the first one, you're not all of a sudden gonna lose the weight.
Become supermodel thin on the second one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, there's, it is totally like a genetic risk. Like it's from body to body. Everyone responds differently.
Presumably it wasn't. I remember when I got Olive home from the hospital and I don't know what it was. I was just craving, like, you know, you do cravings. Like I didn't really have craving during the pregnancy, but postpartum, I was craving chocolate and champagne, which of course I was aware of like alcohol on children. So that wasn't the thing, but I'd have like a little small sip of champagne and this big log of chocolate.
Yeah.
You know, then Olive would be like up for like, you know, 2 weeks. I was like, I can't understand why this baby's not sleeping. What's wrong with her? Oh, the chocolate. I see. Very good. Well, I might need to cut that one out. Back to the yogurt. So tell me about the app. What's your favorite part of, you know, of the app? What's the best bit, do you think?
I mean, I am definitely biased because I created the workouts, but I love the workouts. Like it's funny. Like I mean, my son's almost two and I still do the Juno postpartum workouts, and mainly because our intermediate workouts are like pretty challenging. And, every single time I do one, I'm sore.
Okay.
And that has been my experience. And I'm a like crazy person. So I love the soreness. But yeah, I love the workouts, but I think what I also love is that there is something for everyone. And so if you're like, hey, I don't have 30 minutes to do a workout, we have like a bunch of 10-minute workouts. We have therapeutic workouts, we have mobility exercises. And so it's like all of the like one-off workouts came from me being pregnant, being like, this is what my body needs right now. And so, yeah, I'm going to do a foam rolling workout and we're going to put this in the app. And oh, I have SPD. And so what exercises can we do so that to like help people prevent SPD or sciatica or any of the like typical things that come up during pregnancy? Yeah, I love the workouts. I think that there's nothing else out there that's like it. And, you know, like they're challenging. Like we've had CrossFitters be like, I really didn't expect to like get a good workout. And then I really got a good workout. And my husband will occasionally do the workouts with me and he's like, and Juno workouts, they get me every time. And I'm like, yeah.
I was going to say, like, because I had a good look through the app. I was like, this is so fantastic. And I was like, this sort of, you could even get your partner involved as well,
yeah.
You know, because that's half the thing. I mean, parenting is a sort of a somewhat immediate, you know, lonely pursuit, but even for a mom, it's more so in many cases because you're dealing with obviously having a babe, growing a baby, yeah. Having a baby, yeah. You know, then the sleeplessness and the feeding and all the things you kind of end up doing, you know, Han Solo type thing. I always love those, just even those little walks, you know, with partner, yeah. Down the street. There was always just that nice time where you could reconnect. So when I was looking at this, I was like, this is such a fantastic opportunity for this to be like a, you know, tag team on it as well, which is even more enjoyable in some cases.
Definitely. We've definitely gotten some people have reached out and be like, we call them Juno partners. Like they like will do the workouts with them. And I'm like, I love that. That's great. Like there's things that like you develop when you develop a product, you like don't even see those things happening. Yeah. And I think that's one of them where I'm just like, oh, that's really awesome that this is like, and I mean, and with the courses, I like expect partners to watch them too. Cause like, for me, if my husband didn't take that breastfeeding class with me, I don't know if I would have been able to like, I remember like the goal, like this is like the golden hour or whatever. It's like that first breastfeed or whatever.
Yeah.
And my husband, like the nurse is like putting the baby on my chest and my husband's like, no, don't put him on the boob. Don't put him on they said to let him find his way. I was like, how do you remember that? But I there's things, yeah, that you just don't take away that like your partner can remember. And especially like when you're in a heightened situation, you might not remember it, but your partner's like has a different response to what's going on. And so they can bring in some extra info.
And well, they're sitting with a pen and paper in most cases anyway. But I have to ask, where did the name Juno come from? You've probably been asked this before, but it's just such a beautiful name. Like what was the inspiration?
Oh God, I wish that there was like a glorious story for this, but my husband and I were coming up with names. We're just like throwing things back and forth and we're like looking up like kind of obscure things. And then, I came upon Juno, which is the goddess of marriage. Well, no, but
right. But like, yes, it's one of my favorite films.
I know it's such a good movie, but, Juno is the goddess of marriage and childbirth. And I was like, oh, I really like that. It's just too masculine. I'm just going to go with Juno.
Yeah.
It's funny. Cause when we launched our Instagram channel, we had it as like Juno _ app. And like that, like, it was just very clear that it was like an app, right? My friend who's like been on Instagram for a long time. And so like always an educational account. She's like, she's like, Sarah, you got to change it. It's like so sterile. You're never going to connect with people. And she's like, why don't you just go with Juna Moms? Yeah. And I was like, and it was like so cavalier. We just like changed it. And now it's just like really funny because it's taken on this, like the Juna Moms. Like, I almost feel like we should rebrand our app to be called Juna Moms. Cause it's just like, this is what it is. But it is. Yeah. That's how we came up with Juna.
That's so fun. I just love it. It's just such a lovely name. And tell me, so where are you at with the app? Where are you now? What are you doing with it? And what's your, you know, what's the dream and vision for Juna Moms?
Yeah. Oh God, man, you're asking me to do strategic thinking.
Yeah,
now,
go on.
Huh?
You've got 5 minutes. There's no children. We can workshop this one right now.
Exactly. I think when I think about like where it started, I always wanted to help make like health and wellness an achievable thing during your motherhood journey. And I think expanding on that, like, is education and really really being there for mom, not just in the physical health stuff, but, and so this, it's like all I, like, in my mind, I'm like, how can we become more personalized? Like, I think like my big picture for Juna is like, what is the personalized experience for someone who's using the app? Like, how can we use our content to basically make their experience better? And I think like in the postpartum experience, like this is much more like salient, is it's like what's going on with you today? Like, because there's a lot of like every day is a new adventure.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, and I think like we can only guess like what's going on with you in that first 2 weeks based on what we know usually happens. But I think like, if you're feeling sad, we can give you resources of, you know, about baby blues and postpartum depression. But if we don't know that, then we're never going to be able to give you the right information. And so I think in my mind, the big picture for Juna is like, how do we personalize our experience so that we're really being more helpful to you?
And so you predominantly concentrate in the States, or are you in, you know, other markets?
Yeah. So we're everywhere. We're in all of the app stores.
Yes.
So we're available everywhere, but we're only available in English. So basically if you speak English, you can use our app. Like we literally have people in, I think, in every country.
Yeah.
But we have not done other languages.
Not yet, anyway.
Not yet, anyway.
So it's interesting because, I mean, as you said, the app really does sort of cover a lot, you know, both pregnancy and postpartum and that whole journey. So what is the one thing, I mean, because as you know, as a mum, and you probably get it less now with three being the oracle of all mothering knowledge, but, you know, what is the one thing you wish you had been told, you know, first time around? What is there one piece of advice that you wish you'd been told that, you know, would have made your journey a little bit easier?
I'm sure as a formula company owner, you will, like, I just wish I knew how hard breastfeeding was going to be the very first time.
Yeah.
Like, I think that was, even though, and the thing is like, I think so, I knew in theory that it was going to be hard because everyone talks about how hard it is. But I think me, like everyone, and I'm sure every one of your listeners too, thinks it's not going to be hard for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Like, you're just
agreed.
Like, they must just not have known what they were doing, or they didn't, they blah, blah, like whatever it is. But I think that like in my mind, I had a very specific view of what I wanted, of like how I wanted to feed my baby and how difficult it was, got in the way of that. And then stressed me out.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I want to make this happen. And I think like that the first, and I mean, I was very fortunate because I was able to work through those problems and I was able to achieve my breastfeeding, whatever goals. But I think like I made myself really pretty miserable in the first like 2 to 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I had a friend, which was like, one of the best pieces of advice that she gave me, she was just like, look, cause I was like, is it ever going to get easier? Like, what's getting like, what? She was like, if you're really committed, like, by the way, if you want to call it, don't like, but she's like, if you really want to give it a, like, give it a go, then you should try, like, just commit to the first 6 weeks, mm-hmm. like just commit to getting there. And it will get easier. And she was right. Like I felt like everything got much easier between that 4 to 6 week period. And I had like all the support around me. I think like I was so fortunate. I had supportive, like, you know, my, like I had a supportive internal network. I had lactation consult. Like I had all of the support I could possibly have needed to want, I wanted, and the desire. I think like, it's interesting not to like get down a breastfeeding hole, but I think like, I never would have had a problem feeding my baby formula at all. Like, I think it's a wonderful, wonderful option. But I just, in my mind, I'm like, well, I wanted to do this. This is what I want to do. And so I think like, if I wasn't committed to it, it would have been really much, much easier journey to just have been like, you know what? I'm all done. Like, yeah. I'm just going to
tap out now.
Yeah, I'm done tapping out. It's fine. Yeah. It's fine.
And, you know, you're not alone. I think the reality is there's, you know, I mean, breastfeeding, I don't know if it's the same in the States, but certainly in Australia, obviously we have, you know, the breast is best message is very omnipresent. And I mean, as the owner of and founder of Little Oat, I'm the biggest breastfeeding advocate you can find. Mm-hmm. You know, I started this business because I also know that there are women out there that simply cannot breastfeed. They try like you did, like my twin sister. You know, she tried 4 weeks on the back of every nurse and midwife mm-hmm. saying to her, you got to keep going, you got to keep going, you got to keep going, you got to keep going. And her first son, I mean, you know, literally was starving to death. And these nurses gave her no other option. Do you know that way? So I stand, you know, Little Oak stands for her and all the mums like that and all the mums that choose not to breastfeed for whatever reason. But also we also just stand for all those babies that just need to go to bed every night and every day with a full tummy, right? So however we can help in that regard. And, you know, I think that we talk about advice. You know, I always find that the two pieces of advice we get is around the breastfeeding, you know, thing. And people always say you either got to try, it's always one or the other. It's pretty black and white. Or sleep. I always find the best, the piece of advice I wish I'd never received. I always say this. It's the one where I say, sleep when the baby sleeps. I just think that's the biggest furphy ever. And the worst piece of advice that anyone has ever given me as a new mother, because the children never sleep when you're desperate to sleep. You're just like, why did you give me that advice? The advice you should have given me was, you're not going to sleep for probably 2 years, so accept it. And if you get even an hour here and an hour there, it's a good day.
That's a good day. It's funny because if I actually gave people the advice that I took with sleep, like I exercised when my baby or at one of the naps, like was always like, that's when I'm committing to my exercise. And even like on those, I remember like the nights where I was like up until 5 in the morning, miserable, just trying to like rock my baby to sleep. That first nap that he would take in the morning, I would always exercise and I would always feel 1000% better. It was just like, that is what I needed. And nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear to exercise when you're dead tired. But I'm like, even when you're pregnant too, it's like that, like when you're dead tired, you will feel better. Like absolutely, I know how hard it is to just do it, but you will feel better. If no one at the end of a workout is ever like, I shouldn't have done that. I really regret it.
So good. I love that. That is definitely going into our little book of best advice. So I'm with you hands down. So tell me this, in terms of as we sort of come to the end of this wonderful discussion, and I'm so excited about doing some more stuff with Juno Moms and the app, because it really is. I just think it's so important what you're doing in terms of helping moms through this journey. Because as we know, it's can sometimes not be the easiest one of all. But tell me what else in terms of the Juno journey and experience, you know, what is it that you want mums to know about where you're going or the app and your advice for them?
Oh man, I think like my one piece of advice is like, is find, whether it's Juno or not, it doesn't matter, but just find someone, an expert that you like, believe in, trust, that you feel supported by, whatever it is, follow their advice. Like when it comes to pregnancy and postpartum, like for your health, like exercise, eating well, like those things are so important for like your health, for your baby's health. And if you can find something that you like doing, that's great. Like, I love the Juno workouts, but you know, if you're like, you like dance, like then, you know, that's a great option, you know, like whatever it is. But I just, it's like, just be consistent, because the better, the more healthy habits that you set during your pregnancy, the easier postpartum will be, and the easier it will be to bounce back to those habits. And so that's, I think, like, that's my piece of advice, is like, find something that you love that will help you stay committed to your health, and that will help your mental health, that will help every part of you. You'll better be a better parent. You'll be a better wife. You'll be a better, happier person. All those things.
You're absolutely right. Sarah, I cannot thank you enough for joining us today. I just love this discussion. It's been so fantastic in terms of getting to just some of those fundamentals around health and wellness, and the exciting journey that Juno's on. So if you're interested, ladies and fathers and mums and dads out there, if you are interested in learning more about Juno Mums, get online and download the app from any of your favorite app platforms. And presumably as well, we can get on to the website and find out more as well. And we'll pop some stuff up on the Little Oak website, www.thelittleoakcompany.com. But Sarah, thank you again. And I can't wait to jump onto some of those workouts as well. I'm going to do them on my deck. I got into this whole training thing over the COVID lockdown. Get the little app on the deck in the sunshine. I was actually really disappointed when COVID finished, because I'd get back to the F45 studio. I was like, no, I was quite enjoying this outdoor workout. It was great.
Yep. Well, thank you so much for having me. This was so fun.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic. And I can't wait to keep in touch. Again, everybody, thank you for listening to today's episode, and we hope it has provided you some more information around how to, you know, look after yourself a little bit better during that pregnancy and postpartum period. And again, certainly jump online and download the Juno app. And if you want any more information, we'll have it up on our website. And again, this episode of This Little Life will be available on your favorite podcast platform, so Spotify or otherwise. But again, Sarah, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been fantastic.